Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller.
Oh, mama!
Trent Condon.
Score!
This is Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station. 106.3 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Miller and Condon on a Wednesday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller to talk sports with you for the next 2 hours. We appreciate you spending some of that period of time with us. BMW of Des Moines guest list shapes up like this. We will preview Wisconsin and Iowa with John Bowen Camp. Talk about that. Talk about what needs to happen going forward. Maybe dip into the Hawkeyes, the ladies last night. They got thumped by Maryland. Maybe a little bit on that, some football. But Big Ten conversation coming up with John Bowen Camp at the bottom of the hour. Then Dave Sproul on Iowa State at 12:05 KSI in Ames. Dave will join us. We'll recap last night, take a look to the weekend, to back-to-back home games coming up for Iowa State before they finish the season on the road in Waco. Dave Sproul at 12:05, and then Cappy about 12:30. Off to Chicago we will go. The latest on Chicago sports, as we do every Wednesday with Cappy at 12:30, Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors Cap. 8 o'clock tip for Wisconsin and Iowa tonight. WHO News Radio 1040 WHO has the call. If you can't be in front of your TV, Big Ten Network has it. And the Longhorn Network, I think, did Cyclone Nation a huge favor last night because seemingly half of the fan base couldn't get the game. And that was one that you wanted to miss because that was horrible.
Got away in a hurry, didn't it?
Holy mackerel.
Tight there with the 8 minutes left in the first half. And
yeah, I made it, what, 7, I want to say, something like that. And then boom, right away again, and then just open it up. Boy, did the first 5 minutes of the second half, Trent, there were 4 points scored, all by Jaron Holmes. That was, Texas didn't score. I mean, that was terrible.
And there were opportunities. It felt like
miss after miss.
If you can just get a little run. You know, it was hovering in that 12-14 range. Can we just get a 7-0 spurt here? Mm-hmm. And get back in the game and get...
Because Texas wasn't scoring early.
And he just couldn't do it. I mean, the highlight of the game was Bevo getting his hat knocked off.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't see that often. That's a good one.
That's going to be the most memorable play, and that was Kelscher. A terrible pass. Well, get Kelscher struggling again.
Well, and how about the I mean, it's tough to listen to the Longhorn Network. I get it. Bashawn Robinson's in the crowd. Well, he's a top. He's first round pick. Well, he's a top. Well, in my mind, he's certainly good enough. Just say, tell the truth. He's a running back.
Right.
Are they so worried about losing their job that they have to blow smoke up every Longhorn skirt for crying out loud?
They're bad.
Awful.
That guy that's been there forever, that was at ESPN, what's his name?
I don't know.
That does the play-by-play.
Yeah.
He does all the stuff on there. He does all their play-by-play. He's not good.
No. Just tell the truth. Bijan Robinson's a good player, but he's a running back.
Now, you have to realize, it's like listening to a radio broadcast, a home team radio broadcast.
Fair.
That's what it is. They're not playing it down the middle.
That's, no one will ever accuse John and Eric or Bobby and Gary or Gary.
Why can't they call it down the middle?
Right.
Because that's not what they
do. That's not what they do.
It's a home team broadcast and the same thing. But listening, they were driving me nuts.
It was awful. It was tough to, it was a really tough listen.
I was trying to sync up iHeartRadio.
No, were you?
And the TV. It was that bad, which rarely happens with me.
Yeah, it was a tough listen. You're right about Kelscher struggling. I did get a kick out of the play by play guy after one of Kelscher's three attempts. Wide right. Wide right. I'll say wide right. You don't hear that too often in a basketball game, but that's what we saw. You know, what's disappointing. I think Caleb Grill needs to play in that game last night. You know why he needed to play in that game? Because of the previous game. He was, I did not realize this, Trent. I missed it at the time, when he undercut 23.
That was Oklahoma State game?
No, when he undercut Texas.
Oh, Texas. Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to judge intent, right?
Right.
Did he go out of his way to get Mitchell? Hard to judge intent. But then he comes down and he makes the three. Okay, I saw that part in the highlight. I didn't realize the throat slash afterwards.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's Bush League is what it is. And how...
Telling the bench to call a timeout. He's had a lot.
He does. That was...
I got a kick out of it.
I did too.
But when you stack them all together...
It's the body of work.
Yes.
But the throat slash, come on, man. I wish I would have seen it that night, because instead of talking about the win, I spent half the first segment ripping him, because that was deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily. It's hard to judge intent when he undercut Mitchell, mm-hmm. right? Looked bad, was bad. But the throw slash was really bad. It's too bad he couldn't play and answer the bell last night when his team went into Austin. He couldn't. We understand it's a back. Apparently he's getting ready for March. We shall see. But the team is just so offensively challenged. Kalscher, you mentioned it. Three for 14.
Shooting 25% from three over the last seven games.
Yeah. He didn't make a two-point basket last night, did he? I don't think he did. I think all his makes were from beyond three last night. The one thing they did positive is they made their free throws. You got to give them credit for that because that's been a good talking point. But this team was just so disjointed offensively. They came down the floor and it looked like they had no plan. What are you going to do? And maybe that's part and parcel what Texas was doing, because this was an important one for Texas. We said it yesterday. Yeah. If it wasn't circled on the calendar, and it wasn't, when the schedule came out, after they left Ames, everybody knew when the rematch was going to be if they wore a Longhorn jersey, coaches included.
We're going to pick up Hunter here. We're going to help him out.
And they did.
And they played incredible. 9 threes in the first half. I mean, what do you...
Yeah. What did they finish with? A dozen? I think it was around a dozen. But nine of them were in the first half. You're right.
So we watched this Iowa State team. 4-8 over the last 12.
Trent, they're not a top four seed. They are not a top four seed.
But it's about your total body of work.
I get it.
And who are you putting above them? I mean, look at the resumes in that same kind of area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to make a compelling case, again, because we're talking about last 10 games don't matter. Last 12 games don't matter. That's not a metric anymore. Are you looking at, I don't know, a team like...
Well, give me the 11th seed or the 12th seed or the whatever seed they're matched up with, the 13th seed, because this does not look like a team that's long for March. This looks like a team that has totally lost their way. They can't do anything offensively. Yeah, they guard you defensively, but you know what? They're wearing down from that.
Yeah.
I think that that's going a long way to how this team is performing right now. Look, Oklahoma and West Virginia roll into Hilton. This should be two wins. Anybody sitting there at their office this morning think, well, that's going to happen? It might, but you can't feel really confident about that. Baylor's going the wrong way. All of a sudden, that looks like a more winnable spot. But who knows? I mean, if you had to stack up Iowa State and Baylor, which one's going to right their ship out of these two teams that are floundering right now? Give me Baylor all day long. This bunch of clones, they can't make a basket to save their lives.
No. And matchup dependent. Last year, you got LSU, who was firing their coach. It was a great matchup. Then he got Wisconsin in the round of 32.
Mm-hmm.
A great matchup for the way they play. We don't know what these matchups are going to be.
I have no idea.
They're a matchup-dependent team.
Yep.
And the way that they're playing right now. And you do wonder. I mean, the speculation out there about Caleb Grill.
And there's plenty of it.
And there's a lot of it.
Yep. And it's more than just his back.
Is it something inside the locker room? We go back and you remember back to 2015 and the way that thing came to a close. And they righted the ship after a rough patch there in Big 12 play, win the conference tournament, everything's great, and they lose to a bad UAB team.
Yep.
And Bryce DeJean Jones plays 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
There was what, a fight before
in
the game?
In the locker room.
In the locker room.
Yeah. I don't know if it was a physical fight, but it was certainly...
Verbal altercation.
Yeah, the last thing you want to see in the first round of the Big Dance.
Right. I don't know if it's at that level.
I don't think it is.
But there's something.
Yes.
There feels like there's too much smoke for there not to be something. Now,
yes.
It's also losses, right? Yeah, well, you're winning games, everyone's going to get along. Mm-hmm. You start to press and you're losing games and you're getting frustrated.
I can't think the throat slash went over well. With TJ and that coaching staff. I hope it didn't. I really and truly hope, again, that once that they saw... Again, it was the Longhorn. I did not know that that was part of it. I wish I would have known, because that's a terrible, terrible look.
It's speculation that we're going down.
No, it's not. I've got one. I need another one.
But speculation, I mean, as it pertains to in the locker room. If something...
No, I've got one person telling me I need another one. Before
Yes. Need that second...
Mm-hmm.
But the rumblings are out there, and from people that we talk to online, yes, there's a lot of smoke right now that things are not going well. There is frustration. Well, you'd anticipate. You lose 8 out of 12, yeah, you're going to be frustrated, but maybe a little bit more than just having a rough patch going on. Just something to keep an eye on going forward, because all of a sudden, you kind of look forward, and then you look at what you have, as you mentioned, coming up this weekend. You drop that one at home.
Mm-hmm.
Things could get ugly in a hurry. Oklahoma has maybe one of the best wins of the year, what they did against Alabama.
Without a doubt. in all of college basketball.
Yes.
Yeah. This is not a good team. This is a team that Iowa State, grill or no grill, should beat in front of the home folks.
No doubt. You know, the Groves brothers are out there with their beards doing
this
their thing.
This has to be it for them, right?
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, what are they, 26, 27?
It has to be.
Been around for a long time. Sherfield can hit some shots. It's just, they're fine. But it's at home.
Mm-hmm.
You beat this team, and you beat them handily.
Right. And then a physical West Virginia team who, you know, is kind of like a mirror image to Iowa State.
Concerning.
It is.
But it's the total resume.
Uh-huh.
Even at 17-10, the total resume still has them as
the top four. Shelby dropped to one spot. They're still a three, but they're the last team on the three line for Shelby after yesterday's game.
Ahead of Marquette?
Ahead of Marquette by just by one. I mean, Iowa State's the 12th top team, Marquette 13.
Marquette, Indiana, Gonzaga, and Miami is who's below them. And we'll see. It doesn't feel real good right now.
No, absolutely not.
That they're gonna be able to right the ship. But you know what? What's been the great elixir for this team throughout the years?
Well, getting out of the Big 12.
Well, going down to Kansas City first.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
the
that's
success that they've had.
But they just don't have a Brockington. They just don't have that guy, right?
Mm-hmm. We thought it was going to be Holmes. And he can do it in spurts.
Yep. But I think fatigue's starting to take a toll on him.
Absolutely.
You know, the defense that they're asked to play and the fact that they've got a short bench, and it's pretty clear that TJ, you know, Robert Jones is what he is, right? He's going to get the ball. He's going to miss one out of every two shots right under the basket. He's going to travel a couple of times with the feet shuffling. He's going to make a couple of plays. He's going to have that smile on his face. You want him on your team. Trey King played more minutes last night.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see him, you know, bump up that even a little bit more. But after that, he doesn't trust anybody on that bench. And with Grill not in the lineup, you know, that's 32, 33 minutes that, you know, you could count on him to play. Not necessarily going to light it up. I mean, every couple of games he certainly does. But, I mean, if you're counting on him to come in and make a bunch of threes, sorry.
20 turnovers over the last five games for Taman Lipsey. That's a problem.
That's the freshman wall, maybe.
I had three turnovers last night, six against K-State, six against TCU, four against West Virginia. That's starting to stack up too on your freshman point guard.
You know what I will say though? I thought he played Hunter again really well.
He did, yes. Defensively,
he
did a good job on them, and then it turned into a wide open corner three.
Time after time after time.
Can we cover up the corner, please?
Yeah, you'd think that they would maybe catch on to that. You know, John Walter said something to us when we were on the air, and I guess I didn't realize this. Rice, I can't say his first name. The guard for Texas,
Serge Ibari.
Thank you. Maybe the best pump fake I think John was
right,
and then he did it a couple of times. I think, you know what, Walters is right. This is I didn't realize this, and everybody, I mean, he likened it to Brock Purdy getting out loose, you know, past the line of scrimmage and still being able to fake out linebackers with that pump fake. And Rice did it time after time last night. Really good at that. That's a decent Texas team. This isn't a Texas team that should just wipe the floor with you, whether it's in Austin or anywhere. They're not 20 points better. Last night they were.
So Barry Joyce, Rice made the best transfer of the year. You know where he came from?
I don't.
New Mexico State.
Oh, boy, yeah.
There's some ugliness going on in college.
Well, how about the Alabama situation with Nate Oates?
Nate Oates sounded like an idiot.
He did. Here's the thing, Trent. This should not be Nate Oates' decision. Right?
Oh, absolutely not.
This needs to come from above.
Yeah.
And I know how it would go if it was football.
Right.
We wouldn't even be, there's no need even to talk about this. We know the kid's going to play. It's football. And football, it just means more. This is a kid who apparently was asked to get the murder weapon or get the gun that was used in a murder. And up until now, this had kind of, we knew that maybe he had a part in it, but not this big of a role. In ultimately a woman losing a mother, losing her life. So the fact that there's still a chance that this guy's season isn't over is, it's not right.
No, it's not. And he's a good kid. Yeah.
Wrong place at the wrong time.
Bringing a gun to what turns out to be a murder is wrong place, wrong time. That's not wrong place, wrong time. That term maybe gets thrown around a little too loosely. There is never a circumstance like that. The wrong place, wrong time, supplying a murder weapon.
Right.
It's surprising that it's got to this point, though.
Why, it is.
Why is this flown under the radar.
And
do
you know how far, you know how to the extent it's flown under the radar from the time the murder was committed until we found this layer of the story? Oates was given a big contract extension.
Right. College sports.
College sports. Jeff, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. First, I want to give a shout out to the Dowling girls last night making it to state, and also five of the nine CIML girls team making the state. So we have five teams in the state tournament. I think that's pretty cool.
The team that has the chance to go the farthest, Trent Condon, is out of the CIML?
The Johnston Dragons.
Johnston Dragons. Are they a lock to get to the final?
They're not, because they're the 2 seed, and the number 3 seed, I believe, is the best team in the state,
Waterloo West.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, sorry, Jeff.
Well,
yep.
No, it's okay. Last time we played Johnston, we beat them by 20. They had like a 43-game winning streak. And now
I remember reading about that. Yeah.
So now we're on a 14-game winning streak. I think we're the hottest team in the state. I think Johnston.
And when you say we, you're an assistant coach, right?
I coached. So maybe I'm a little clouded. But the last time we did play Dowling, or last time we did play Johnston, we did beat them by 20 and pretty handily. But let's get to the Iowa State Cyclones. I think, Cannon, I love to hear what you think about this, and you've been talking about it. I think you're kind of portraying the sky is falling here. Here's the deal. We beat Texas at home. We beat Kansas at home. You're supposed to hold the home court. Texas had a lot going for them.
Yep.
And yeah, they got blown out. And yeah, they're struggling offensively. But it's kind of the same lull as they had last season. We've touched base on this.
Yep, they don't have a shot maker, Jeff. And that's the difference. They don't have somebody that can make their own shot.
But here's the deal. Last year, and tell me if I'm wrong, Brockington was going through a lull. We don't know what he was going to give us last season. And then,
but at least you knew he was capable of giving it. Kelscher right now does not look like he's capable of that turning around and making shots like he has.
Well, he wasn't last season either. And all of a sudden, the tournament, he was the guy that we're going to scoring 14, 15, 16 points a game in the tournament.
Here's when it comes to Iowa State, and I don't think I'm alone here. This does not look like a team that's ready for March. It looks like the furthest thing from that. I'm with you. I agree. You're right. When you go back to last year, they had that swoon at the end of it, and here they are in the second weekend of the tournament. I agree with that. Matchups were very favorable. Mm-hmm. They may be again. They don't look like a 3 or a 4 seed to me, and that's okay. If they, you know, even if they fall to a 6, I think 6 is the best spot, at least for getting out of the first round of the tournament, unless you're a heavy head, and they're not.
Does it change your opinion if they do beat West Virginia and Oklahoma at home, or do you still?
Yeah, in a way.
It depends on how it goes, too. I mean, if they just survive, you know, they win 62-59 in both those games, I don't think that all of a sudden, well, they got it all figured out. I may even walk away more concerned if it happens in that fashion. If they go out there and win both those games by double digits, absolutely, then I'd be right back there with you, Jeff.
Trent, if we're both guessing here, is Oklahoma and West Virginia, are those both going to be quad one wins for the Clones at home, or would they be quad two, if you were guessing?
I'll bring up the net here and take a look at where they are right now. It's going to be right on those fringes, though, of where they're going to be in terms of quad one, quad two. I'll bring them up and see what it is. Let's see. Home game's got to be Oklahoma. We scroll through. West Virginia's 26. So yeah, that's right on the fringe there. Oklahoma, they're a little bit further down. The Sooners. Oh, Sooners are way down there. They're down at 72. They dropped 11 spots last night for Oklahoma.
And Ken and Trent, you know, maybe I'm going the coaches aspect. It was one game. We're gonna, you know, you guys talk about flush.
Yeah, but what happens? K-State was one of those games. I mean, Kelscher hits that 3 at the buzzer to make it look like it was respectable. It wasn't.
They've lost 4 out of 5.
Yes, the Oklahoma State gave up a big lead. West Virginia, that's in the past,
guys. We got to say we got a game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We got to be moving on to that game. We got to be scouting for that team. You win one game, you got a little pep in your step. You win 2 games, now you got a little pep in your step, and now we're moving forward. Did they turn the corner? So I understand they've lost 4 to 5 and 8 out of the last.
But what gives you confidence that they're watching them like you do, and you know the game? What gives you confidence that this team has the ability to turn that corner the way that they're playing right now?
I believe in TJ, and I believe in the coaching staff, and I believe that it just takes a couple shots to go in. Yes, they're pressing, but you know what? Again, as a coach, it just takes one. Then you get a little confident. Then you get a little pep in your step, and you get that swagger. Now, that swagger is a fine line. You want to have that swagger, but you don't want
not
to
the throat slash swagger.
Not the throat slashing swagger.
Right.
It's that fine line. It only takes one. It takes one win for them to maybe turn that corner. Now, if you're staying in the negative and, yeah, they've lost 4 to 5, then, yeah, they're done. But you can't think like that. You got to be going on. You got to be moving on to the next game. And they've shown us, at least at home, that they can do that.
Well, they got the two bottom feeders in their building the next two games, so they better do it. Jeff, we got to let you go. I appreciate you coming on. You're always welcome. Always welcome. Look, I hope you're right. Yeah. I want this team to go as far as they can. That was fun last year watching this team. They're covering this team. Look, Iowa State moved the needle. The more they play, the better it is for sports talk radio.
Absolutely.
Right?
We need something to get us back to football season.
Absolutely. The closer you can get to that, better off everybody is.
Get us to April. We'll take it.
Right.
As bad as that was, the Iowa women might have been worse last night.
You know, I didn't see any of it. Just following it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Wide open threes. I mean, much like Texas was hitting threes over the top of Iowa State and getting corner threes, it was the same thing with Maryland. They were ready to go. And there was Brenda Fries, and BTN was in the huddle with the camera as they were going to the fourth quarter, and they're up 20-some. And she said, remember what happened to us when we went down there? They were not relenting. Right. They were not slowing down. They were not taking
pedal it. Pedal to the metal. Huh?
Yes, it was. There was no breaks in that one. Right. They were going there, and this is the game plan. Now, not many teams have the kind of athleticism to be able to guard Caitlin Clark in the fashion that they did, double, triple teaming them, and then have the speed and the ability to get back on the other girls. But, boy, that game plan, everybody tries to do it. It doesn't work often, but when it does, it can get ugly in a hurry for Iowa, and we saw it happen again last night. Defense has never been the calling card of Bluters coach teams.
Nope.
That showed up in a big-time way. Six turnovers for Caitlin Clark. She only got 13 shots for her. No, less than that.
What you mean? She had 18, I think?
And it's just one of those performances that still kind of gives you that pause, and that's why people talking about Final Fours, those final couple of steps to get there. It's a different level. Game day's still going to be there Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Still going to be really cool for the program to have that, but kind of put a little bit, took a little bit of the lull away from it where they just didn't play well. They weren't ready to go, and Maryland, it was a blitzkrieg. It was 22 apiece, and then a 22-2 run for Maryland after that.
Jeez. Yeah, that'll do it, right? One of those you don't often come back.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take our time out. We're going to switch gears. John Bowenkamp's going to help us out with Wisconsin and Iowa tonight. Iowa, slight favorite?
Yeah, 1.5, pretty much the number across the board that I looked at earlier this morning. So a slight favorite here. Something's got to give. Iowa, 3-6, ATS on the road in true road games. How about Wisconsin?
What's their best win, Wisconsin?
Iowa.
They beat Maryland. They beat them early in the year as well. And both of those games in December? I think they were.
Yeah.
I think they were. I think they started out 2-0. You know what? I'm going to cheat. Let me look.
They were 3-0, I think, the Badgers were.
They beat Minnesota. They were 3-0.
And
they
I had them.
They beat Maryland on Tuesday the 6th of December, and then Sunday they beat the Hawks in overtime.
I had the Badgers at 30-1 to win the regular season crown.
I hope you.
At 3-0, I'm like, oof. We got something here.
Did you take the cash out?
No. Since then, they are 4-9 in conference play. How about this? At the Kohl Center, one of the toughest places to win in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
They are 3-9 against the spread this year. 3-9 ATS at the Kohl Center. This is not a good Wisconsin
team. No, they're not. They're not. Chucky Hepburn's still there. Really good player.
Wall's good.
Yeah, and the big kid, Kroll.
He can do some things.
He can do some things, too. Iowa should win the game. They got a better roster. But as you said, it's a tough place to play, and it's on the road, and we shall see. John Bowenkamp will help us out with that. We'll talk more on Iowa State with Dave Sproul coming up here. 1430 KASI at 1205. Is the sky falling? I think it is. We'll see. It just doesn't look like this team looks gassed.
They do.
They look gassed, and they can't score to save their lives.
Well, here's maybe a saving grace. This weekend, of course, Oklahoma. Then the quick turnaround Monday against West Virginia, and they will get.
Oh, I thought that was Tuesday. It's a month. Oh, it's the nightcap. It's not Big Monday per se.
It's ESPNU, I think. Yeah, but you'll get a little bit of time then before the weekend, before the finale.
Yeah.
Just because the team needs it. They need an extra day or two in there, and they're going to get it. Now, it's going to be a quick turnaround, but it's at home.
Right.
the schedule works out, I think, pretty well because they need it. They need some kind of break before, of course, conference tournament play begins.
John Bowen Camp is next. Miller and Condon till 1 is Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Oh.com.
How you feel?
Just past 11:30, Wednesday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KSO. Dave Sproul, more on Iowa State coming up. Dave is 1430 KASI in Storey County. That's where Iowa State plays, both the men and the women. And then David Kaplan off to Chicago. We shall go. Here's John Bowenkamp. Associated Press, Hawkeye Nation, Iowa College Hoops, .. Hello, John Bowenkamp. Trent and Ken, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing well. What game are you driving to now?
Actually, I'm going up to Iowa City. Got a meeting up there with the Daily Iowan folks. Hadn't talked to them for a while, so I'm going to sit down and talk about their writing. So that's one of my various things that I do.
So are you kind of like a professor-type role, or what?
Coach.
Coach, okay.
Sports writing coach, yeah. It's Nick Saban-like in the way that I approach things. But, I enjoy working with them. They're a great group of students and great writers, and been doing that for this, I think, my fourth year. The COVID year made me lose track.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
and it's like, and so this is my fourth year doing it, and it's a good group. It's a really good group to work with.
Give us an idea of some of the alum that have come out of there that I've read in the Register or online publication. Who would give me a couple of names that have gone through the program and actually followed up and made a career out of it?
Me, first of all. Wayne Dray's worked at ESPN.
Okay, yeah, know him, yep.
Bryce Miller, who's at San Diego now. Yeah. I mean, Bryce's been everywhere. Steve Batterson at the Times is a former DI writer. So, I mean, it's just a lot of just so many people. That newspaper has produced so many good writers. Obviously not just in sports, but in news and all that other, and different things. And it's really a great atmosphere to work in. You know, I miss being in a newsroom, and it's kind of, it's fun being around them and kind of telling them this is what you might see, and this is what you might, things to run up against. And so I've really enjoyed doing it the last few years.
Well, we are moving over to the Hawkeye side of things and a tough loss against Northwestern. Wildcats shot the ball well, never could get over the hump, and things got ugly quickly. Fran, of course, ejected in the game. John, was it a one-game blip or concerns when you look at this team and what's in front of them here the final 2 weeks of the season?
I think it's a blip. I mean, I think we'll know more tonight. I mean, I yesterday when we talked to Fran, he pointed out something that I had pointed out in my takeaways from the game on the other night, was that, they were terrible from three, but they were really good from two. I mean, they were 20 of 30 from two. But it was turnovers and the defensive end that really caused them a lot of problems. This isn't a team that's turned the ball over a lot this year. So I'm just going to chalk that up to being a little out of sorts the other night. The shooting woes, I mean, obviously these guys are good shooters. You're going to have nights like that. To me, the biggest thing is defensively, and I think we're going to learn more about that tonight. You're playing a very Wisconsin team that's always been disciplined, always knows how to, work the shot clock, that sort of thing. And so we're going to learn a lot about their defense tonight and how they bounce back from that game.
Yeah, obviously need to do so if they want to try and cling to hopes of getting that double bye. Michigan State comes in on Saturday. They had a really nice emotional win last night. Building looked great, really did. Izzo in tears afterwards, as you would expect out of him. Then Indiana, who's on the other, shared the floor with the Spartans last night before, much better than they were Nebraska team. So it's not going to be easy. You look at the schedule down the stretch, John, you think, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Nebraska, those are all clearly winnable games going into Bloomington, maybe not, but it's not as easy as I thought it was, a couple of weeks ago at this time.
No, and that's just the way the league has been this year. I mean, it has just been, who gets hot at this time? I mean, obviously, Northwestern is playing very well right now, so here they are now, they're in second place, have a chance to maybe win the league, if things fall apart for Purdue, who had played really well and then ran into a stretch. So, you know, the thing about this, especially down the stretch here, what you had to avoid was a long, you know, you don't want to lose back-to-back games. You don't want to lose back-to-back-to-back games. I mean, you want to just maintain, you know, a certain pace at this point. And so that's why I think these next couple of games are going to be really critical for them. You win them both, well, now you're in really good shape. You lose them both, and now it puts a lot more pressure on you heading into that final week of the season.
Really does. Wisconsin, it's been up and down against the Badgers. There's been some nice wins. I mean, it hasn't been unwinnable early in the Frank tenure. They won a game that was a huge surprise. Bohannon had the shot as a freshman, 15, 20 years ago, when he knocked that one in to beat Bucky. But this Wisconsin team just isn't very good this year. They just aren't. They lost the game earlier this year in Carver. That was without Chris Murray. He didn't play in that game. Desante Bowen started that game. Aaron Ulis was also out that game. So this is a different Iowa team than the one that lost to Bucky. Now, it almost feels like you got to win this one. If you're really going to right the ship here, not just winning the two home games, make a strong, strong performance at the end. It starts with winning this one tonight.
Yeah, go back to what we were talking about earlier about the double bye. You really want to win this game because you want to keep that. You want to keep ahead of that back.
Yeah,
and you know any loss kind of puts you in a tenuous position. So that's why I think you really want to win this game tonight. You really want to get a road win. You want to win a team against a team that you should beat. I mean, like you said, the guys that weren't there the last time and you went to overtime with them. Now they're back, you know, and obviously they're playing well. So you want to win this game. You cannot, like I said, you don't want to have to go into that last week in the season with a couple of losses, you know, that they're going to put you back. Otherwise, you can just keep falling down those standings because everybody around you is so unpredictable at this point.
John, and speaking of that, who is the best team in the Big Ten? Is it still Purdue?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to look at body of work. I know they're not playing well right now, but I mean, if you look at, let's not discount the Northwestern team. Let's not discount what they've done. And I mean, they've taken care of their business. You know, I mean, really, their only bad game here in the last few weeks was that game against Iowa, and they were at the end of a very, you know, long stretch of games that were created by their postponements. So, those are one and two. Outside of that, you can flip a coin. I mean, I would have said Illinois a couple weeks ago the way they were playing. Now all of a sudden they've run into trouble. I think Maryland's really good, and I think Iowa was lucky to catch them when they did. You know, but you know, and so it could be anybody at this point when you get to Chicago, and that's why I think you want that double bye. I don't think you want to have to play four games in 4 days against this kind of competition.
And they're playing a game tonight against a team who is going to have to play four games because Wisconsin's playing on Wednesday as we sit here today. Sorry, Trent.
They got a long ways to go to make their way up and to build it back. You know, Iowa, one thing that I look at, and it's going to be tough tonight. You know, Kroll inside, he's a 7-footer. Mm-hmm. Wall's a really good player inside. Phil Pabracha, his scoring still been there? He's looking a little tired. I mean, is it time to, all right, it's emergency time, break glass, let's go with a Gundelay, Big Jelly out there, Mulvey for a couple minutes here and there, because it just looking at him, 6'9", giving up the size that he does, game in and game out, that maybe Rabracha's starting to wear down a little bit, and they got to have him right if they're going to have any chance in March.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, but you're right. I mean, you could go back to some of the minutes he was playing, you know, earlier in the year, especially when Chris Murray was hurt. And I mean, yeah, I do think it's taking a little toll. It wouldn't hurt you to get 2 or 3 minutes out of Josh Ogundeley. It wouldn't hurt you to get 2 or 3 minutes out of Riley Mulvey. Those type of things can add up over time. And so I think you've got to figure out a way to, you know, and on top of that too, I mean, I think you're going to have to squeeze a couple more minutes out of Patrick, you know, and he's kind of, you know, still trying to come back from his layoff. But, you know, if you can get him to where you can get even just a couple more minutes out of him, that takes a lot of pressure off that front court. And that, you know, Fran said that yesterday, you know, you're going to need some of those guys. So I think really you have to play these last couple weeks of, I just need 2 or 3 minutes out of certain guys, because that can make a big difference down, you know, in the last couple of minutes of the game.
Tony Perkins have a good night offensively tonight, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was probably unhappy the other night with the way he played, especially the first half, getting in foul trouble. And I mean, you could tell that the way he played in the second half. I think he has, he'll stay out of foul trouble tonight, and I think he'll have a really solid game for them. And that's what they need. When he's going, that team is just so much better.
You know, I'm looking at the box score from the Wisconsin game.
Isn't it weird?
Carter Kingsbury played 11 minutes.
Had a three.
Haven't seen him, I don't think, since 2022. Patrick McCaffrey led the team in scoring with 24. Connor had 17. And you're right, Bowen started in the basketball game.
And now he's a nine. Yeah. Would you consider this freshman year a disappointment for Desante Bowen?
I thought he would be a little better than what he was. Yeah. I think he hasn't progressed. I think that was the biggest thing. I think he came in and you saw some things out of him early on. Okay, you know, now you're at that point in the season where you want to see progression from your freshman. Think back to where Josh Dix was early in the season where he wasn't playing at all. Now he's getting a lot of minutes. So to me, it's how did you progress, you know, during a freshman year. And I think he was really good early, and I just don't think he got any better. Mm. And I think he's, you know, there's certain things there, whether it's defensively or whatever, that just really, I think, has kind of set him back a little bit in that rotation.
I think it is, too. Real quick baseball question for you, John. The new rules are here. Which one do you, of them, which one do you like? Which one are you still not sold on?
I love the pitch clock.
Okay.
I think that's one. The shift thing, I don't know. I mean, you're dictating how to play a game at that point. I'm not a real big fan of getting rid of that, but if it helps Max Muncy, I'm all for it. That's how I determine it is, you know, whether it's the difference between 96 wins and 105 wins, right. You know, who knows? But anyway.
And then losing in the playoffs.
I'll be really honest, I don't mind the player on second in extra innings.
I don't either. I love it. I love it.
I just want to see one ending of regular baseball.
I like it. So, anyway. But that's just me.
So, your Dodgers are just gearing up to get Ohtani. Is it as simple as that?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I would prefer, since Mike Trout said he wants to play with Ohtani, I would prefer you figure out a way to get both. But, you know, and they will. So, you know how they go. But I mean, they'll figure it out. And if they don't, they'll be fine. So.
Yeah, they'll be fine. You know what you're going to see a lot of this year? 5-4-3 double plays when Jason Hayward's in the batter's box. This guy's a double play.
I said he's going to hit 300. They're going to tap the last bit of oil out of him, and I think he's going to hit 300.
Well, I did read a story for over the weekend, read a piece that they think that that's possible because they're working with him. They're doing something. We shall see. Good stuff, John Bowenkamp. Thank you, as always. We appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me on.
Yep, talk to you in a couple of weeks. Yep, take care. John Bowenkamp, as we take a look at the Hawkeyes tonight. By the way, we have a pair of tickets to give away.
Yes, we do. It is up right now on our Twitter account. Just go to @MillerandCondon. That's where you can find us, and you can find your opportunity to win two tickets to the sold-out Carver Hawkeye Arena on Saturday as Michigan State comes to town. Two tickets, all you got to do. Guess the total points in tonight's Bucky-Hawkeye matchup if you are the closest without going over, and you're the first in of the closest.
Right, and that's critical because, yes. Trent, the last time we did this, I looked through it. There were so many people that had duplicate number. Whoever claims the number first, what do we mean by that? It's 110. You think it's 110. So Trent takes 110. I go on, and I also take 110. Well, Trent was there before me. Trent claims 110. Yeah. Find another number. Take 109. Take 111. But just get the number, because if you don't and somebody else claims it, whoever claimed it first is going to win the tickets. Fuller Family Dental. New location, by the way. I stopped by the brand-new spot on 8th Street Southeast in Altoona. What a nice office.
Oh, really?
Just brand spanking new, all new equipment. Still at 2822 East 29th Street, but if you're in the Altoona area, if you're in Eastern Polk County and it's time to get back to the dentist or a new dentist, FullerDental.net. Two tickets to Michigan State, Iowa.
And also, you have to use the hashtag Fuller Dental That's how we search for it.
That's right.
We search hashtag Fuller Dental, and if you don't have that in there, it is not going to work. So follow the rules.
Yep.
They're all listed there at Miller & Condon, where you can find it. Pick your number, and you might be heading to Carver on Saturday morning.
Contest closes at 7:59 tonight. or 8 o'clock?
7:59.
Commissioner Condon has spoken. Again, first person to claim the number gets the number. Two tickets. Michigan State, Iowa. Total points in tonight's Wisconsin-Iowa game, closest without going over. We will finish up the hour. Dave Sproul kicks off hour number two. David Kaplan will join us from Chicago. See, they got Pat Beverly.
I did.
I kind of like it. I mean, he was really good for the Timberwolves.
He was.
And the Bulls are on the – they're one spot out of the playoffs at this point, right? No,
I'm kind of at the hurt. But why? To get in the play-in? They're not doing anything.
No, I don't think they are either.
Would it make more sense just to get more ping pong balls and hope they come up your way?
Yeah, maybe.
With what is sitting there in this draft?
What? How do you say the kid's name?
Wembanyama.
Wembanyama.
Yeah.
That's everybody wants, that ping pong ball.
I was hearing something the other day that, excuse me, he's like close to 7'5". But his handlers don't want people to know that he's actually that tall. It's like, no, he's still only 7'3". He's still growing.
Jeez.
Small forward to 7'3".
And a wizard with the basketball in his hand. We'll take a timeout, come back, and finish up hour number one. Miller and Condon, again, at the Miller and Condon Twitter account. That's where you will find the opportunity to win tickets. Sold out, Carver Hawkeye. Michigan State, Iowa, Saturday morning at 11. You can find the details. Follow the rules. You have to, or you will be DQ'd. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Rick Betts off.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. Here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. 5 minutes before noon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Senior night at the Knapp?
Yes. Guys have been around for a while.
And Brody's not going through senior night. Did you see that yesterday? Brody mentioned, he's not going through senior night, so it sounds like he's got one more in him.
Why not, right?
Right. Well, you know, it's probably not a basketball future for him after he leaves college.
Maybe there's a couple years overseas or something. Yeah.
But, we'll see. I hope there is for him.
Get a grad degree.
Do your thing.
Yeah, get a master's.
There's worse things than a Drake scholarship or a Drake diploma. And now that there's a collective over there.
Right.
DU Great, I want to say. DU Great Collective, I think, is the website.
There's plenty of law students that have graduated that's from there point. In this town that
that's true.
Got a little extra jingle in their pocket.
Yeah.
That maybe could support that. Hey, you're more of a mock draft guy, NFL mock draft guy than I am. Have you already been digging in?
No, my squad doesn't draft to the third round.
So you understand where I was with the Bears a couple of times recently.
Not to that extent. Okay. I do look at it more. Where are you going?
Well, I just clicked on one on CBS this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Their updated one, and I was floored because I have not been following this really at all, even with the Bears with the number one pick. So they have a mock trade in this with the Bears, with the Colts getting the number one pick, and we know what Ursay said.
Mm-hmm.
And them selecting, with the number one pick, not Bryce Young.
No.
Anthony Richardson?
I've seen it.
What in God's name is going on here?
He's athletic.
Did they only watch the Utah game last year and that's all the tape that they've watched?
Well,
they haven't got the rest through the other 11 games?
He can chuck it a mile.
Yes, he can.
He's as athletic as anybody in that's going to be in the combine.
He's huge.
He's a big dude. He's 6'4", 230 pounds. They think that there's a chance he turns out to be one of the next great quarterbacks in the NFL.
What are we doing here?
I'm with you. You know what else you're seeing a lot of? And it kind of, when it became apparent the Bears are going to get the number one pick when Houston won in week 18, and they fell to the 2, I wonder if they would trade Fields. What would they get for? Uh-huh. It's picking up again, Trent Condon.
It is, and I was a proponent with the right package.
And what you said is so spot on. The rookie contract clock starts all over
Reset
again.
The window.
Yep.
Go right back that direction. So this mock draft has Derek Carr signing with the Saints, Aaron Rodgers being traded to the Jets, Lamar going to the Commies, the Commanders, and Jimmy Garoppolo with the Raiders. So that's how this kind of plays out. Then the Colts make the trade to draft Anthony Richardson at number one. The Texans then get Bryce Young at 2. Whew, sets up pretty well for them, huh? Jalen Carter 3 to the Cardinals.
Too bad. It's too bad because if he's at 4, that's your guy.
And then Will Anderson at fourth pick.
Mm-hmm.
What about that scenario? The Texans, they're not going to move out of 2 if Young
is there. No, absolutely not. You know what? if you do, if the Bears do drop to four and they're happy with Fields, and I get why they are, but it's the quarterback contract, right? The rookie quarterback contract that resets. Jalen Carter's being compared to equally, and maybe a little bit over the top, to Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald, yep. Yeah. And I've seen the same comps
all over the place.
You sign up for that for a decade, huh?
Oh, God.
Will Levis going fifth to the Panthers. Will Levis. And you so you watch a lot of Will Levis football.
I did see it.
You want him running your football team?
He's tough. No. Yes. My quarterback's Russell Wilson, so the answer is yes.
You don't want Will Levis.
I don't want Russell Wilson.
Well, I understand that.
I'd take you over Russell Wilson.
Boy, I've never seen somebody so doubt on their quarterback.
He's awful.
Packers with two picks. Let's see. They got safety Brian Branch out of Alabama and Musgrave out of Oregon State, the tight end there.
What are the Vikings doing? A linebacker? Have to go defense.
No, 23. How about another wide receiver? Jackson Smith and Jigba.
That would work.
You'd take that, right?
Yeah, that's him pretty and good Jefferson? Jeez.
Because Thielen.
It's got to be over.
You would think so,
right? I mean, it's been a heck of a career.
Yes,
I mean,
it has.
A heck of a story. Local kid makes good and then some. And made some big, big plays for them. Hour two coming up next. We'll get back to Iowa State with Dave Sproul. Then off to Chicago we shall go. See if Cap's hearing anything as far as the murmurs on the Bears with their one pick. That, and we'll get into the Cubs. We'll get into the White Sox and Chicago sports topics. Trent's plays of the day as well. Hour two, Miller and Condon next, 106.3 KXN.